You want to go ahead and talk? Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast.
No.
Do it.
No.
Do it. Say, you're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. Do it. You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast. TheWordBros.com.
Is that the intro?
No, that was just me making a fart noise.
Oh, that would be a good intro.
Would it, though? I mean, would it? Sometimes it sounds like we just straight farting up in this piece, but no, son, it ain't like that. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Word Bros. It's Kevin. It's myself. We're talking process, bro. We're talking comics, dude.
We're talking about how two schmucks like us get a superstar artist like Drew Moss to work with us.
Well, I mean, you know, hey, sometimes the pitch has got to be good and the script has got to be good, and it probably helps that we're pals.
And yes, but that's not true. None of that is true. It's just
none of that's true. We don't have a good
bribery.
Script.
It's bribery.
It's all bribery. Hey, I don't know if anybody knows this, but if you are listening to this and you live in the Cincinnati, Columbus, Dayton area. This weekend, I will be at Gem City Comic Con, hanging out, selling books. I'll have all kinds of stuff going on. So you should check it out. Gem City Comic Con is in Dayton, Ohio, at the Dayton Convention Center, I guess. It's right there. I mean, I don't know how big of a town
it is. Gem City. That's right.
Gem City is in
Dayton. Go see Bobby and buy the If book.
Buy all them janks, son.
You need the If crime anthology. You need a Full Moon Fredo in your life if you
will. Yeah, because the If anthology and the Full Moon Fredo will be new. Last year, I sold a shit ton of Elvises at that show. I mean, like, a lot of Elvis comics. Like,
well, I think you sold out of Elvis at
that. I did.
Yeah, see?
I sold out of Elvis at that show. So, but it was fun, man. It was a good show. I'm excited to be back. So, yeah, man. So, come on. If you can hear the sound of my voice and you live in the greater Cincinnati, Dayton, Columbus, Ohio area, go to Gem City Comic Con.
You're coming from out of town, come from just out of town to see Bobby Fresh.
Yeah. Ain't nobody care about that, baby.
Everybody cares about Bob Fresh.
But we're going to have a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun. So did you watch the Deadpool trailer? The Deadpool trailer came out today.
I did not watch it. Did you?
Nah.
See, we're this is something about Word Bros that you guys will learn. We're not those comic guys that like everything that everybody else likes.
I didn't see the first Deadpool movie. Deadpool.
I did. It was good. It was good.
I heard it was.
It's not one of my it's not a. It's okay. Now we're gonna. You want to get serious? So I'm
gonna. No, I don't want to get serious. No, you can. I don't mind.
No, I'm kidding. I mean, it's just kind of like Wolverine meets Spider-Man. That's what I always thought Deadpool was. Like, if you mishmashed Wolverine, if you had the Marvel mashup action figures like my son has, where you can mix different parts of characters, you just take Wolverine's superpowers and mash them with the personality of Spider-Man, then you have Deadpool.
Okay, I guess some bad words thrown in here.
Some bad words and sexual references and guns. So you throw a little Punisher in there, too. Punisher Matt.
Yeah, see, I'm not really into Deadpool. I'm going to tell you that I like Ryan Reynolds a lot. Like, I think
he's great in the movie.
I think he's very charming. I think he's very funny. He's got hot washerboard abs. I remember when Ryan Reynolds wasn't super physically fit, like when he was
handsome dude.
Like when he was Van Wilder. Do you remember that way?
He was very skinny. Yes.
Yeah. Like Ryan, it's taken Ryan Reynolds a really long time to get this famous because he was the other guy in the Blade.
He was just famous for dating Alanis Morissette for the longest time.
He was the other guy in the Blade movie, in Blade trilogy, in the Trinity.
Well, that's a terrible movie, though.
He was in that one. He was a terrible
Hannibal King in that. And Hannibal King's a great Marvel character, but it's not Ryan Reynolds.
He was a terrible Green Lantern.
I'll agree with.
He was just trying things, and he finally kind of caught on with something with Deadpool, and good for that guy. I always liked Ryan Reynolds. I don't like Deadpool, so I won't go see the movie, but I'm rooting for him from afar, if that makes sense. Like, go Ryan, go. Does that make any sense at all?
Well, when you have a night at home alone, watch the Deadpool movie. It's worth watching. You were watching all the other Marvel movies, so that's, I mean, right, it's worth watching. The Deadpool movie is worth watching for Colossus and Negasonic Teenage Warhead alone.
Okay.
So if you don't like Deadpool, you'll at least like Colossus. In the
movie. I like Colossus. I'm a fan of Colossus. Like,
you'd think he was great. So that was the highlight of the Deadpool movie for me was Colossus. Okay. Colossus straight man. That's basically what it is.
Okay, I could see that. That makes sense.
He's the straight man for all of Deadpool's jokes, so it works out.
Okay, well, I mean, you need a good straight man, and I'll tell you what, it's actually harder to be a straight man. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes, Bud Abbott, but you're going to talk about Bud Abbott.
And I mean, normally in the old school, like, comedy duos like that, the straight man made more money.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. I was listening to a really great Dick Van Dyke. I'm going to just preface this by saying I love Dick Van Dyke. I think he is amazingly talented. He's a song and dance man. He can sing. He can dance. He can't do a British accent to save his life. Have you seen Mary Poppins?
Yeah.
Yeah, like Poppins, the British accent ain't his thing. He's a great dancer. He's a great comedic actor. He's one. The Dick Van Dyke Show is one of the best television programs ever made. If you've ever gotten the chance, just watch it. It's brilliant. But Dick Van Dyke was on Marc Maron many, many moons ago, and I listened to it, and it was fascinating.
Is he still alive?
Dick Van Dyke is still alive. He's actually, they're doing a sequel to Mary Poppins, and he's in it.
Oh, that's amazing. I saw that. Like, they have the guy who did Hamilton playing his part. So
yeah.
That's amazing. See, you can learn a lot from, and see, this is something else that I think is a good important point that even relates to comics as well as other media. You can learn a lot from people that come before you.
Yeah.
So Dick Van Dyke probably taught a lot of people a lot. So.
Well, Dick Van Dyke was saying that back in the day he was in a comedy duo, and I think he was, I can't remember if he was the funny one or the straight man, but he said the straight man always made more money because it's more difficult to be the straight man. It was always harder to find a good straight man. It's easy to find a fat guy who's going to fall all over the place, right? Like, if you think about it, but like the one that's going to kind of keep things together, keep it moving, more difficult. He said they always made more money.
So you're saying between you and Fredo, you're the straight man.
Yeah, but in this relationship, you're the straight man. So it's weird how it works out. Yeah,
it is. It just depends on who's there.
Depends on who's around. You know, with Alfredo and myself, I used to host a radio show way back in the day with Alfredo, and I was the straight man, and he was the crazy one. And in this relationship on Word Bros, I'm the pratfall idiot who never shuts up, and Kevin's the straight man who just kind of keeps things moving. So it's just, it's just
sometimes, but sometimes I think we switch off, because there was that one time I was talking about, like, just high rise fault, like, so that's not the straight
there was man. One time
there was one time at man camp.
That one time I wasn't the straight man,
that one time, yeah, just once though.
So I always thought that was interesting. But yeah, we're in the process of Mike Federale, a friend of mine, a guest of the show. I believe he was on guest like three.
He was one of the first ones.
He's a friend of ours. He asked, he's like, so what are you working on? Because that's what comic people tend to ask each other. So what are you working on? And I said, hey, right now we're working on three pitches and a book. And I thought his head was going to explode, because that's a lot of stuff. Like three. Yeah, we're working on three pitches right now. We have the Metal Shark Bro pitch, which we are in the process of, I guess, cleaning up, because the pitch document, we sent it to an editor who was not super jazzed on it. He gave us some nice tidbits of information to fix that up. So we're doing that now, which I'm pretty excited about.
And that book has art by Walter Osley, who you may know from Schiffer Bureau. And he is also a very super sweet and cool human being that agreed to work with us on that.
So, is Walker going to be at Heroes?
He has been the past 2 years. I didn't ask him if he was going to be this year, but if he is,
we'll have to buy him some sour beer, dude.
Yes, I will buy him some. I Walt likes sour beer, so Walt and I share a beer love. I like, if you see me at a con and you give me a dark or stout beer, we will be friends for life.
That's all it takes.
Yeah, that's I'm pretty easy, man.
You know, here, take this dark beer, friend, and like then you'll follow around aimlessly like a puppy dog.
I will. It's almost like a video game. It's a quest. You get Kevin's dark beer, and he's a follower. Like, he's part of the party now.
Yeah, the dark beer matches your dark beard and your dark arts that you have over there going on. The dark arts of Kevin Cuff.
That's good.
Yeah, like so we're doing that now with Walt, and hopefully something will come with that. And then we're doing another...
Dust Pirates.
With Tony Gregory, who was a guest on the show.
And Ed, who is awesome and super nice guy too, and who also likes dark beer. And that just came out of just, hey man, thanks for coming on and like hanging out with us and talking about comics. Maybe we should do a comic together. And he's like, yeah, let's do it. What kind of ideas you guys got? And that's, I would say that's the hardest part when you're starting out, is trying to figure out how to talk to other people that do comics.
Yeah. What do you think?
I would say it's almost as hard as pitching. Pitching is the next hardest thing.
Pitching is difficult. I was talking to my good friend Mike Exner about this just the other day. The art of writing comics and the art of pitching are two completely different arts. Writing a pitch is like writing a sales document. Like, that's what you're doing. You're trying to get someone to buy your idea, and it's a completely different skill set from sitting down and writing a story that has a moving plot and interesting characters and kind of moves along at a timely pace and A, B, and C happens. And so it's a completely different animal. And another thing that X and I were talking about was there's no real industry standard for pitches. It's all just like, well, here you go. You know what I mean? Everybody has different ways of doing it. Everyone has different opinions on it. So it makes it rather difficult. I think the hard part about talking to artists, to kind of bring this back to what you were talking about, Kevin, is getting a certain quality of artist to think that you are competent enough to do something, that you are, that you are willing, or that you're worth taking a flyer on, because you know, it's difficult, man, because I mean, these dudes, this is their livelihood. This is how they make their money. And like, the last thing I want to do is be wasting somebody's time because I can't put fucking three panels together on a page and make a script work.
Right. I think that comes with having done work before and trial and error.
Yes. Trial and error is key.
Yeah. I mean, unless you got the money and you can go to like Comics Experience or something and learn like from ground up how to build your comics house, if you will. But the whole point is like when you go to those kind of classes and stuff, because there's another Muse Writer Center here in Virginia in Norfolk offers comic writing classes, and I know a guy that's in them, so I'm picking his brain now to see how competent that is, because not that it would or wouldn't be, but the fact that sometimes I feel like, for me, I don't know how you guys feel or how you feel, Bob. I learn better by doing it.
Oh yeah, of course.
Make the mistakes yourself.
Yeah, experience is definitely the best teacher, but it's just like if you're involving professional artists along the way,
right?
It's a little more difficult.
You could burn some bridges
though. Yes, and it's, you know, and people are gonna, I mean, people in this business talk, you know what I'm saying? And Kevin and you and I were talking about this, was like, now that we're getting a certain level of art, and don't get me wrong, every artist we've ever worked with has been super professional and very talented, but now that we're kind of, we're dealing with people that have lots of published work, the door is going to be opened a bit more for us. It's going to be cracked a little bit more. So it may depend on our pitch writing ability, you know, to get the next,
to get the sale over. Yes. Yeah.
And so that makes me super kind of queasy, because it's like, well, what if we suck? You
know? That's not a question. That should be like a period at the end of
Yes.
That.
Well, what if we?
There's no way. What if we suck? Period.
None it would them. Rather be like
question
mark. When we suck, I guess.
Which is more likely.
Yes.
Which is more likely. It's far more likely. I mean, we're guys who wrote a book about the king of rock and roll fighting a giant kaiju banana. So you.
Yeah, but that was a good. Right? But I mean, to be fair, that was a really fun book. I mean, that's a great.
I mean, that's the whole idea. I think that's the thing with us is that we do something like we talked about this when we first started doing this together, which I think is really interesting to bring up on the pod, because we said we want to do fun stuff, but then we have other ideas that we want to do that aren't as fun, but we still want to do the same, like the ideas. We just didn't want to be restricted by kids book, like not kids book. We
genre, I believe, is the word you're looking for.
What's that?
Genre?
Genre? Well, no, I don't know if it's necessarily the genre, because if you think about it, like when you've done Monty, they can put you in a special section for kids books at an all ages section at a Comic-Con, which I didn't know that they actually had.
Some of them do, some of them don't. I wish more of them would do it.
Right. Because then like what we could do, given that what we do is both, is one of us could table in the non all ages section and one of us could table in the all ages section with our all ages material.
And that makes a lot everything. Of sense. Yeah, no, it makes sense. Split everything up and just go
right. So one of us would have all the all ages stuff and one of us wouldn't. And that's fine, because pretty much besides one book that each of us has done, we've pretty much written everything else together because we saw in each other a way to make more comics.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important part, is what you leave behind. And we rarely disagree about where a comic's supposed to go. And when we do, one of us compromises. So it's very easy to do if you find the right writing partner.
And I mean, it's also kind of one of those things where it's not like I'm not super tied to any idea. Like I'm not going to sacrifice a project or a relationship for my idea.
Right. It's not that important. Like if the idea flies, it flies. Like the one thing that we've always kind of adhered to, if the idea flies, it flies. If it doesn't, it doesn't. So, yeah. I mean, even with something crazy like Metal Shark, which we threw out some crazy fucking batshit ideas on that book to each other. There's some really crazy ideas going into that book, but nobody was like, my idea is better than this idea. It was like, I think we do this thing where we try and top the other one's craziness, but that just makes it better.
Yeah.
like, oh, what if we had fucking, I don't know, Mecha Ninja Nuns. That sounds dope. Let's do it.
It's in the book, so we don't even have to worry about it.
So it's like what? That's there? Like how did that get there? Fucking skeletal mastodons with this and glowing toxic waste.
That's in the book.
That's crazy. How did that get there? Like that's because we just try to be as ridiculous as we can be at times. And whatever made us laugh too. So
that's key.
Because when we started laughing about the idea and we couldn't talk or breathe, there was times when we were discussing the idea where neither of us could breathe.
Mm-hmm. Which is dangerous when you're driving through the mountains of West Virginia. But I mean, on little...
What he was doing. Yes, I was supposed to be at work. So yes. If you listen to the podcast and you're a coworker of mine, I was working.
Yes.
I just had on Bluetooth earbuds and people probably thought I was crazy because I'm walking through grocery stores talking about Mecha Ninja Nuns and glowing mastodons. So
it was fun, man. It was good.
But yeah, in a grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do it somewhere, right?
It's got to happen.
But it's just, you know, at this point now, I think it's just a matter of keeping momentum because we still have the book with Drew with Chase the Moon, which we've been working on, and then we also have another book with Ricardo that we're doing too, the Kung Fu book. So we have a lot of stuff shaking. We got a lot of stuff going on. It's just a matter of keeping the momentum going and just working. I mean,
well, I think it also too, if
trying to figure out this damn pitch.
Well, the pitch thing is hard, but I think our whole idea behind it was, if we're not doing one thing, we're doing something else. So that was the whole premise behind it. And you guys got to understand, a lot of these happened last year. Only like one, I think, happened this year. So far, we've only done one.
Yeah,
we've got a couple more like ideas in the works, and we've got one more coming up that we're supposed to talk to someone about. And it was supposed to be this month, but I think it got moved. Another 10-page idea.
Oh.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So like we have that. So we'll have two this year, and then we had three or four we did last year that we're still thinking. And we have one that we've had from almost the time we started writing comics together that's been a
nightmare. So vague, bro.
I'm not being bad. That's what I was trying to say. Spirit of 666 we've been talking about for, what, 3 years now?
Dude, I just like the vague book, and I was into it. Just,
I mean, I'm just saying, we've been talking about a lot of these ideas are stuff we've had since we started doing stuff together.
Yeah, it's just a matter of last year.
It's nothing, a while to make them develop.
Last year, nothing happened. This year, it seems like everything is happening.
Last year, nothing happened, but we came up with a bunch of cool ideas.
Yeah, but then this year, everything is happening. You know what I mean? Like everything
at
is
once.
Yeah, everything is kind of falling into place, and it's been pretty fun to watch.
And it's also fun that we've gotten three pitches done at once. So that's kind of crazy because I don't think either of us expected that.
I don't know which one. What are you talking about?
The three pitches happening at once.
Oh, no, not at all. No,
I didn't. I thought we would get one done at a time. But like the way that fate planned it was like, oh, no, all three of these things will be out. And then you have this other book with Kung Fu in it that has been wafting around since last year.
No, so it's just, yeah, it's all happening pretty fast. And like we're posting new images on Twitter constantly from Tony or from
Tumblr and post on Tumblr.
Oh, you have a Tumblr?
I do.
You go there to meet chicks? What's your Tumblr account?
No, Instagram. It's not Tumblr. It's Instagram.
You have an Instagram? I don't have an Instagram.
You did, and I tagged somebody because he's got a name, Robert France 19, and I was like, oh, that's got to be you. The 19 gave it away. And the guy's like, I think you have the wrong Bob France. And I was like, apparently. So that's hilarious.
Yeah, I don't have an Instagram. I had an Instagram, but then I got rid of it because
I got rid of it because I don't ever have pictures. Like
I have a loophole.
Want to see pictures of my kid all the time because
I have a Loophole Comics Instagram.
Then that's you. Okay.
Yeah, now I was thinking about making my own personal Instagram.
You should.
But like I have a hard time as a writer posting stuff on Instagram because like what do I put up there?
See, I thought the same thing, but I just put the art that other people are working on. I just copy it and put it up there because there's no like retweet or like share button on Instagram unless you have a like specific app. And I'm like, I'm not downloading that and taking up extra space on my phone. I don't care that much.
Yeah.
I'll just make my own and then put it up and the artist can like it. Instagram's weird for us, for writers. So,
yeah, because I don't know what to put on there.
I put on there what I'm reading or what I'm doing, or when my son does something cool, I put it up there. So it's fun for that reason, but I don't really post that often. So I don't know what to do with it.
I'm trying.
It's weird for me because it's picture based. Because I'm like, I don't take a lot of pictures. I'm not a picture dude.
I'm not a picture dude. I feel you, though, because that's the way I feel about Instagram, and that's why I don't have one.
I mean, I got one because somebody said I should get an Instagram and start putting what we're working on Instagram, so I did. So if you look at my Instagram, it's most of the stuff that most of 90% of the stuff up there is stuff that you and I are working on.
Are there any dick pics?
Not yet. Like, I'm working on that. All right. I'm working on getting, like...
Got to get the lighting right.
I've got to get the lighting right and like a Snickers bar or something to hold for contrast.
Yeah, that's I never thought about that. Yeah, because if you just see a random peen, it's like, I don't know how big this peen is. Like,
right.
That's a really good idea because you need contrast. That's really smart.
Like for me, it'd be a Twizzler and then
long and thin and red. You better go to a doctor, friend. That's pretty.
That's brutal, man. It's like a cat dick attached to a human.
So should I start my own Instagram account?
Only with dick pics.
No, nobody wants to see that.
Nobody wants to see mine either. You're like another dick pic.
Well, at least you're a single dude, so it would make sense. I mean,
it makes no sense because like I'm a single dude in comics. Instantly, it'd be like
dick pics. Like,
nobody wants these dick pics. Why are they on your Instagram, you bastard?
That's dick pics.
Nobody wants dick pics at all. I tell you, it's funny that you mentioned that because like on the online dating website, one of the compliments I've gotten is, you've never sent me a dick pic. That's really awesome. I'm like, is that like a thing? Hey, my penis. And they're like, yes.
Those are really low standards to have, Kevin. That's all I'm saying.
I'm just saying, I'm very proud of myself because one of the girls I was talking to was like, you've never sent me a dick pic. And I was like, because it's kind of weird.
I've been married to my wife for 13 years we've been together for like 16, I've never sent her a dick pic, and I never would, because who wants to see that? Like, what the audacity, the what kind of mindset do you have where you're thinking like, I'm gonna send a picture of my penis to this woman or man, and they are going to be so enthralled and taken by the sight of my sexual organ that they will not be able to resist me. Like, who has that thought? It's fucking maniacal.
Apparently, Democrat Anthony Weiner of New York has
look
that.
Look at you going, that was a deep cut right there, dude. I just don't understand the mentality. Like,
yeah, dick pics on the internet. That's not
the thing. Is, it's like a penis isn't very attractive to look at unless yours has like tattoos on it, or like
if maybe, you put glitter on a penis, it might
maybe
be.
I mean, we can, I'll try later,
it's
but
it's like
doubt.
The sprinkles of penis dumb is like glitter. It's like,
but wouldn't that just be like putting lipstick on a pig?
Yes, it would,
like,
be
literally,
but
maybe we
but
could,
you're asking what would make a penis more appealing. I'm saying
nothing.
Yeah, penises are pretty gross,
they're just weird looking. You know, they're just like weird looking.
It's like a male proboscis, like,
yeah, and I mean, you know. It's not my thing.
Me neither. But
you
mentioned them, so we went into a half an hour discourse about them.
I mean, I'm just saying, I just don't understand the art of
it. The weirdest thing about internet dating is when a girl's like, hey, I'll go on a date with you because you never sent me a picture of your junk. I'll be like,
wow,
that's all it took?
That's a really
That was rough. Actually easy to get a date. You know? Like, I was like, this is surprisingly easy. I didn't send you any pictures of my manhood. So
genius.
Awesome. But I'm not that kind of dude, so...
Yeah, me neither. Again, I don't have enough confidence in my...
Me neither, and not only that, but why? Like you said, like...
I mean, I've been told that mine is quite beautiful, but that's just for me. That's my...
I don't know if anybody cares about your wife, so... That
and you know what, Kevin? She doesn't really even care that much, so it's cool. But I mean, and the thing is, who can blame her, you know?
It's just a penis.
Yeah, that's all.
There's tons of them in the world.
So how do I sign up for this?
I don't remember when I did it.
I remember I had a Tumblr way back in the day. I still think I have one that I would use.
Now, what's the difference between Tumblr and Instagram?
Tumblr is like a blogging thing.
Is it?
Yeah, but it used to be like the Wild West where like, people were getting like comic jobs off of Tumblr, and then it went nuts, and then people stopped caring. Like, I don't know, man. I don't get Tumblr. I there's just so much shit out there, man. I just don't understand.
I never tried Tumblr. Now, if I knew it was a blogging site, I would have tried Tumblr.
Yeah, it's totally a blogging site.
Because I didn't have a blog on Facebook. MySpace had a blog area. I didn't keep a blog on MySpace, but all my MySpace stuff was banned stuff.
Okay.
It's gone now, isn't it? It doesn't exist anymore, does it?
Oh.
I don't either. See, how crazy is that? Like, it's probably still up there.
My just went to MySpace. MySpace is still there.
Really?
Uh-huh. I don't know what it is anymore. Like,
I wouldn't even know my password on there anymore.
Yeah.
I would have forgotten it by now.
Yeah, MySpace.
MySpace is like 20 years old, because Dark Horse used to do Dark Horse MySpace Presents, didn't they?
I don't remember that.
They did.
I remember. Hear,
look it up. Let's see if I'm right.
I found my first artist for a comic on MySpace.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Way back in the day, Federale and I had a MySpace for some comics him and I were working on together. Nothing ever really came of it. I mean,
but yeah. The band I was in with Evan had a MySpace.
Yeah.
So, like, that was a long time ago.
MySpace got a friend of mine fired from his job.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Like Facebook does now.
Yeah, this was
back in the day. This is pre-Facebook.
Yeah, this got him canned from his gig because he went on and, like, was talking about... he was just talking about how his employer was a cheap son of a bitch and yada, 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 and, like... You know, blood.
I forgot that they were friends on MySpace or something.
And like somebody saw it or whatever. And then, yeah, it was really bad.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I only talk trash about my employer while we're on WordBros because they're pretty bad.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's still pretty dumb, but at least like you can deny that, or they have to really go a long way to find it.
Like, they won't listen to Word Bros. My employers are devout Christians, and we spout devil worship comic books.
I mean, that wouldn't go that far. I don't say we're devil
worship. I was kidding.
I mean, I think the devil's cool, but like
we wrote a comic about a devil worshiping shark. I doubt my Christian employers are coming to listen to Word Bros.
Yeah, well, no, Metal Shark Bro's not. I mean, he's not a
satanic as hell.
He's not a devil worshiper. He was thrust into a situation.
He's a tool of Satan, an unwitting tool of Satan.
Like, he's just some dude that didn't want. He just wants to be a shark, man, living his shark life, doing shark stuff.
And getting to Sharktopia.
Yeah, you know, that was an unfortunate event that happened to him. He was just swimming along, doing his thing. You know?
I like how you talk about him like he's a real person. Like,
Metal Shark Bro is my dude, all right?
Like, that's your, like, you're, like, tight? Like, he calls you every day?
That's my man's in them. I love Metal Shark Bro.
Ira is my dude. Ira's my dude.
I'm excited about Ira too. I mean, I just love that book.
I would get an Ira tattoo. So.
I mean, I could go for that. I mean, I mean,
and if you're listening to this, hold us to this. Like, if we have to kickstart this book, the three of us, Walt has also agreed that we
have Ira tattoos. And the weird part is, I don't think Walt has any tattoos.
He doesn't have any tattoos. So the Walt fact agreed that he would get an Ira tattoo. Yeah. So I will get an Ira tattoo. Bob said he would get one, and Walt said he would also get an Ira tattoo if we fund this on Kickstarter and we go over funding for what we need to do off complete trade. We would all get Ira tattoos.
I would do it.
I'd totally do it. I would do it without the Kickstarter. So if the Kickstarter was just successful, I'd be like, I got to get this Ira tattooed on me because
if this book gets picked up, I'm totally getting an Ira tattoo.
Oh, then I'll have an Ira tattoo too. We'll have matching tattoos. We'll be tattooed.
I am on Tumblr right now.
Are you?
I have a Tumblr account.
What is your Tumblr account, man?
I can't figure out how to get to that part.
My Instagram name is The Right Cuff with underscore.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But I've been the wrong cuff before.
So. Okay. My Tumblr account is bobfrance.tumblr.com. And that's what
it is. That's a weird way to do Tumblr. Like, I have never had to. Maybe I should. Well, see, you have a Tumblr and I have an Instagram. We can divide and conquer now.
Yeah, but I haven't posted on my Tumblr account since March 14th, 2017. So it's been
only a year.
Been about a year that I've posted on Tumblr.
It's only a year. And you posted on March 17th that you hate St. Patrick's Day.
No, I didn't. I posted on Tumblr pictures from Angela's Full Moon Fredo page 21 that I like so much. And then I posted...
Is that the one with the big, like, ritual page?
Yeah, that's a great page. She did a really good job on that.
I knew which one it was right away when you said the one you like so much. I was like, I remember this because I got a text really late at night about that page. And I was...
And then before that, I posted about Mary Tyler Moore being dead. And that was January 25th. So
that's a bummer.
Yeah, I'm still sad about that. I don't post on Tumblr a lot. But I don't think anybody uses Tumblr anymore. That's the whole thing. Like, I don't know what the hot social media...
Well, because we're getting old. That's why.
Yeah, and like I'm ready to dump Facebook because like I'm just tired of it. But I know I need Facebook if we're gonna run Kickstarters because in the past when I've done a Kickstarter, I've made most of my money from Facebook.
Same.
So
Facebook and Twitter.
Yes. Combined. So I'm not. So I'm definitely not getting rid of Facebook because I know that's where I make a lot of my nut. You know what I'm saying?
That's a weird way to say it, but
I mean, that's where I mean, shit, man, I can show you from the what's it called one a long time ago, the Monty the Dinosaur one. Yeah, dude, I made a shit ton of money on Facebook, so I can't get rid of it just in case I want
to. People like to hear from you anyway because you have entertaining posts. Like,
I guess.
I mean, I would say the same thing about myself. I don't think I'm all that entertaining, but at times people are like, oh, this is really funny. You posted Ric Flair like with the Infinity Gauntlet on. I'm like, because I find that funny. Like, it doesn't matter if you find it funny or not. If you don't like it, you can just get off my feet.
Yeah, you can get off my jock.
But Ric Flair with the Infinity Gauntlet doing the Four Horsemen sign? That's dope.
So let me ask you, let's bring this thing around to the end because we're getting kind of close. Have you been reading anything lately? What have you been
reading? I have been reading a regular novel.
Oh.
By a guy who writes comics.
Okay, now what are you reading?
Throne of the Crescent Kingdom by Saladin Ahmed.
Oh, okay, that's the dude that was doing the Black Bolt
book. Yes.
Okay.
The book is actually really great.
That's cool.
I'm almost done with it. It's like D&D mixed with Arabian Nights.
That sounds fun.
It's great. You would really like the book. I am on chapter 18 out of 20. So I only got 2 chapters left to read, and I'm done with it.
That's cool. That sounds awesome.
I'll bring it to Heroes. That way you can borrow it and have it. Like, you can just mail it back to me when you're done. But it's... I might even just buy you a copy. It's so good. Like, it's weird because it's not your traditional fantasy setting. And the only thing I find really strange about it is the way he world builds.
Okay.
Is really interesting because he gives you the scope of this world that's really big, but then kind of keeps it contained to this one city.
Oh, okay.
It's really interesting. The scope of what he's world building is huge. Like, there's this, there's that, there's this different places. He has a narrator that's kind of older. And so when we get from that character's perspective, when he starts talking about all the adventures he's been on and all this stuff, like, you get the scope of the world. But when it's contained inside the writing, it's just inside this one city called this Dahomaswat.
Okay.
That's how you say it. And it's pretty interesting having to do with that because he's a monster hunter and he hunts these ghouls, which are like, there's different kinds. And like, so when you read it, it gets pretty interesting.
Interesting. Okay.
And like, one of the other main characters is kind of like a combination monk paladin.
Okay.
That's a dope ass combination when you think about it.
That is kind of dope.
Yeah. Like, he's like a holy man of God who can like kick ass, but he doesn't need a sword, but he has a special sword. So it's like, all these things rolled into one. So it's really definitely interesting. And there's a girl in the book who's kind of like a barbarian shapeshifter.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It's great. The book is great. I've really enjoyed the book so far. What are you reading?
I'm just reading a shit ton of Superman comics.
Now, what did you enjoy most about Superman comics? And what did you enjoy least so far about Superman comics?
I'm reading the trades, the Rebirth trades that just came out. I've read the first 3 trades. And so the one thing I will say is, because I guess they're doing 3 books a month, right?
Yeah.
Is that sometimes the art's a little inconsistent.
Okay.
Because I get used to seeing one artist, but since they're doing 3 books a month, they have various artists working on the book. But I mean, I don't really have any complaints at all about the new Superman book. Rebirth is pretty good. I've read the first 18 issues and it's been pretty dope. The annual that featured Swamp Thing was fucking amazing.
Really?
It was. If you can go to Rich's shop and try to find it, it's in the third Superman trade. It's the opening story in the third trade of the Rebirth trade. It's really fucking good. Like, because Clark Kent and Lois Lane and Jonathan Kent, they're all living out in Monroeville, which is like, they're on a farm like 300 miles outside of Metropolis, because right now they're not living in Metropolis. They're trying to live like these fake lives as these farmers or whatever. He's still going out and doing Superman stuff, but they're not living in Metropolis. So he's kind of like looking around at the plants. His crops aren't growing. He's like, I just don't understand it. What's happening? And then he starts flying around the area and he notices that all the water is drying up and like, there's not any water happening. Like, it's all kind of evaporating and stuff. And then all of a sudden, like, there's this great double page spread and it's Swamp Thing coming out of the ground and like kind of reaching for him with like these tendrils, like these tentacles. And it's like, you don't belong here. And they have this conversation about how this is not the Superman of their Earth. I guess the Superman of this Earth passed away, which I don't fully understand why or how it happened. I've just accepted it, if it makes sense.
Yeah, because they're talking about red underwear Superman. But go ahead.
Well, no, well, I guess like this, the soup, there was, I guess the new 52 Superman was the Superman for a while, but he died. And then the Superman that we know as kids that was killed by Doomsday came to this Earth too, in like the black suit, and then he kind of took the mantle. So he's not of this earth, I guess, that they're talking about. Like I said, I don't fully understand how it happened. I've just kind of said, like, okay, I get it, and accepted it and moved on, if that makes sense. You know?
Yeah, it does.
So he is not of this plane, and I guess he reacts differently to this Earth's sun, and he's sucking up more of the energy, and they go through this whole process, and then, like, him and Swamp Thing fight, and then Swamp Thing becomes, like, this giant Kryptonian monster, and it's just really well done. Like, it's very cool. It's a very good read.
Swamp Thing versus Superman is kind of a crazy idea.
Yeah, and the artwork is fucking fantastic. I think Jorge Jimenez did the art for this annual, and it just sings, dude. Like, it's beautiful to look at. And they give you like script samples in the back of the book, and apparently I think it's Patrick Gleason and Peter Tomasi that wrote the story. They do it Marvel style. They just, like, all right, this is what I want to do, and, like, they just lay it out for him, and then Jorge goes back in and does all of it. It looks fucking great. It was a really fun read. It was a really good issue, and it's just been, and the story's just been consistently good. I've been really,
that's awesome.
Yeah, which is weird because I've never really been a big Superman fan. Like, I went through a little phase when Jeff Johns and what's the guy, the artist's name,
John Romita Jr.?
No. This is, it was like a Brainiac trade that I picked up, and I can, John, Judge, he has two first names. Let me see if I can find it. Jeff Johns, I'm not even close. Jeff Johns, Brainiac. But yeah, it was a really cool, Brainiac arc. Is this it? Yeah, Gary Frank. I thought for the longest time Gary Frank drew, like, a beautiful Superman, and he was on the book for a while, so I was kind of reading that. It's from, like, 2009, but I haven't really read a lot of Superman, so it's really...
You're just prepping yourself for the Bendis Superman.
I'm prepping myself when we win that DC talent hunt, son. I'm going to be like, I got the greatest fucking Superman we ever made.
See, Bobby's aiming high. He's all like... Like, I'm aiming for the pinnacle of DC Comics. I'm talking about the Man of Steel. And me, I'm like, I got the best Booster Gold story ever.
Obviously, I don't think I could write a Superman story. I would, if I could do a hero from DC, I would want to do Wildcat.
Really? I would want to be Booster Gold.
Because I think you could do something. Well, I think Booster Gold's really cool, and I think you could do something really,
my favorite.
Really cool with him, but I think Wildcat's awesome. Like, I mean,
he's like that old grizzled street veteran,
yeah,
boxer. Like, I think it's cool.
Like, he trained Batman how to fight.
That's interesting.
Apparently, you know.
I
like him. Like, he's just some.
I like man. Him. Okay. You I like know? The, but he's not like the Question or like Booster Gold or Blue Beetle to me. Like, I like the Blue Beetle Booster Gold buddy cop idea.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that's amazing. I think that the two of them together is just like my favorite thing.
That DC with that.
I like other things that they did, but they're all animated things, so it's really weird because I didn't grow up on DC Comics. I don't. Mm-hmm. Neither did you. Did you? You grew up on Marvel.
Right? I read a lot of Marvel, and then I read Green Arrow for some reason, just because I like
Green Arrow's dope. The idea behind that character is great.
The Mike Grow Green Arrow stuff is still fantastic.
So I haven't read that.
The Longbow Hunters and all that shit.
You told me to read The Longbow Hunters, and I never...
He's actually... Mike Grell is going to be in Dayton, and I'm going to bring some Longbow Hunters framed autograph, because I love that dude.
If he has any Longbow Hunters there, just pick me up one and mail it to me.
Oh, dude, I can find one. You can go to Rich's and look in the Green Arrow thing and probably find him in, like, the quarter bin. I mean...
No, he doesn't have any, like, singles. Like,
really?
Not the issues. Like, I would buy the trade just because I've been collecting trades recently just to have, so I don't bog my whole corner. Like, if I show you the corner, like, I'll show you the corner of the room. Look how many trades are in that corner. Can you see all the single issues in that corner?
Yes,
it's a ton.
All right.
So, I don't get to them. They just sit there or they sit in bags, and I'll get to them eventually and I'll read one or two, and I never get to read all the ones I bought. So I've decided that for me, trade buying is the best.
Okay. Because
what ends up happening is I'll read one or two of the ones, and then they go back in a plastic bag, or they go into one of the long boxes over there, and I'm like, oh, I forgot what I read 10 minutes ago. But in a trade, I have a whole bookshelf full of trades that I will actually pick up and read every now and then. So it just depends on the trade.
I'm with that.
And a 90% of my trade, weird thing is 90% of my trades are Image. Because I got like a shit ton of Image first in there, because I'm like, this sounds cool, I'll read it. It's
and it's like $9.99, yeah.
$10. So I'm like, there's no risk. If I read it and I don't like it, then I'll give it to somebody else.
Throw them shits away.
I don't throw anything away. I just go, hey,
that's kid.
Do you like this writer? Do you like this artist? Cool. Read this here. Like, if I don't like it. But there's only been like two I've ever done that with.
Yeah.
Two. It's out of like 50 I bought, two were like the ones I was like, it's all right.
That's cool.
Yeah, like that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, that's a damn good number.
Because one of the ones I got for Image first was Rumble was one of them. But I had already read the single issues.
Okay.
Fair. I already knew I loved it. I'm trying to think of another one I bought that was Image first that I was just like, okay, I'll try it. The Brubaker one, Kill or Be Killed.
Okay. All right.
Just to try it, and was like, oh, this is really good. So
my wife was telling me that I could get into buying comics again if I buy them digitally, because then we don't have comics all over the house. And I'm torn because I love reading comics, but I also understand that, like, if I don't buy comics at shops, then shops aren't going to be around.
Yeah, that's true, because did you see the news in Facebook?
Yeah, I saw all kinds of stuff. Yeah.
Meltdown Comics is closing.
Yeah, in LA, everybody's all freaking out about it because it's been around for like 25 years.
That's Hardwick's store. The guy who hosts Talking Dead. That's his store.
Yeah.
He's closing his comic book store and hosting The Talking Dead. That makes like zero sense.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
How would that happen? Like, he's a millionaire, isn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He gotta be.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, I'm a millionaire, but I don't want to keep my comic book store open? What?
Yeah. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then when all indicators are that comic sales are up, because I was reading, like, oh, well, why are these stores closing? So I was reading it, and it was like, it's not because comic sales are down. It's because what people do, the trade waiting is kind of killing the individual issues, which I can't say anything about because...
You trade wait.
I'm not necessarily a trade waiter, but I'll buy a trade way before I'll buy a single issue.
Yeah.
And I will buy single issues. Like, I bought Deuce of Hearts. So I showed you that last time. I will buy single issues. It's not that I don't. It's just that I don't buy as many.
I hear you. Dude, you don't have to explain yourself to me.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying, like, it's hard for me because I want to buy single issues, but what ends up happening is they sit.
Yeah, and you just have piles of them around. I know. I got piles of comics everywhere.
And I'll read the whole thing in a trade. I'll just sit there and read it until it's done. Uh-huh. But single issues, I'll read the single issue and then forget to buy the next one. And then be like, oh, man, I forgot that one. Do you have number two? You have number three? Yeah, you're like three issues late.
Dang. Whatever, so dude. At least I'm here.
Yes, I'm trying.
So. Well, there you go, dudes. That's the episode of Word Bros. Thank you for listening. We'll hopefully have some guests on soon. We're going to have Brian Level on after C2E2. We're going to do a crossover episode with the Woo Mates. If you have never listened to the Woo Mates, it's a pretty good podcast. They do comics as well. It's two twins, Jason and John Ford. They talk about comics. They interview comic creators. They're really awesome dudes. We're going to have those guys on after
season. And Jason Ford's also on another podcast that Bob listens to.
Yeah, called Douglas and Dragons. Mm-hmm. So that should be sweet.
Jason's a nice guy. I've been on his pod before. It's great.
There you go. So you know. And then we're going to have Drew back on too, and Ed Brisson. Hopefully we're going to get Ed Brisson on soon. So yeah, we got some good stuff shaking, hopefully.
And we tried talking to Matt Rosenberg and getting him on. So if you know Matt Rosenberg and you're listening to the podcast, tell Matt Rosenberg he needs to be on Mark
Brown. We'll figure it out, dude.
He'll be on Mark Brown.
Eventually it'll happen. So thank you for listening, and everyone, you guys have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Word Bros Podcast, thewordbros.com.